the first Chilean Popular Front. Under Lenin and Trotsky, the Communist International cemented together the most revolutionary conscious element of the working class on a world scale. Learning from the bitter experience of the Social Democratic International, which, in the words of Lenin, wasn't an international, but rather a post office with hardly any links between the different national parties, the Bolsheviks returned to the authentic concept of the international that Marx and Engels had during the days of the International Workingmen's Association, a world party of socialist revolution, with a common program, strategy, and leadership. This idea was not in the slightest anti-democratic, nor did it mean the dominance of one party over the others. The complete opposite was the case. In the first four congresses of the Comintern, the internal debates show the wide margin of internal democracy, of freedom of discussion, where even the smallest party could express its differences with the policy of the biggest party, the Bolshevik Party. There was a wide autonomy for the national sections within the general policy, established by the Congress of the International, which until the death of Lenin were held despite all the difficulties. With the bureaucratic degeneration of the Russian Revolution, which came about as a result of the isolation of the workers' state in a backward country, this situation changed completely. The process of the Stalinization of the communist parties was mirrored by a parallel process in the Comintern. All the critical elements were bureaucratically eliminated, something which never took place in the days of Lenin. The leaders of the international became Stalinist functionaries whose only aim was to carry out the orders of Moscow. From 1928, these elements carries out the ultra-left policy of the third period. Then in 1935, without any problem whatsoever, they took a turn of 180 degrees towards the Popular Front policy, which Trotsky had correctly characterized as a malicious caricature of Menshevism and a strike-breaking conspiracy. But the Stalinists could not carry out their policy of collaboration between the classes without the participation of the socialists. The Chilean workers had learned to distrust completely the liberal politicians of the bourgeoisie. The creation of the SP was an expression of the instinctive desire of the working class for the necessity of an independent class policy. The declared policy of the socialists was the Workers' United Front, which was fought for in the candidacy of Marmaduke Grove, a prominent leader of the labor movement who was jailed by the government and elected senator for Santiago with the slogan "From Jail to the Senate." The revolutionary spirit of the movement at that time was expressed in the famous words of Grove, "When we get power, there won't be enough lampposts from which to hang the oligarchy." These words reflected the mood of the masses of workers and the rest of the oppressed sectors of Chilean society who were seeking the road of the socialist revolution, and not the one of collaboration with the bourgeoisie. The radicalization of the masses and the crisis of capitalism forced the oligarchy to look for the final solution, just like in Germany and Italy, by organizing armed fascist bands. Under the Bonapartist government, none of the problems of Chilean society had been solved. But the fascist movement met with the heroic resistance of the working class. The workers' militias of the Socialist Party and the Young Socialists, the Steel Shirts, fought against the fascists all over Chile. Frightened by this, the same government of Alessandri was forced to act against the fascists when they attempted a coup d'etat. The failure of the fascist attempt, the crisis of the Alessandri government, and the growing wave of radicalization of the masses created very favorable new conditions for an offensive of the working class. But here the Chilean Stalinists played a completely ignominious role. The leaders of the SP, unfortunately, were completely incapable of offering any alternative. The Stalinists took the initiative and strongly pressured the leadership of the SP to accept the idea of a popular front with the radical party. This idea went against all the principles of the party, and met with a decisive opposition from the working class, which instinctively understood the traitorous character of the liberal bourgeoisie, and wanted a workers' government. In the words of Adonis Sepulveda, "When the changes in the strategy of the labor movement place on the table for discussion the formation of a popular front, the Socialist Party resists this alliance which surrenders the leading role of the labor movement to certain sections of the bourgeoisie. It has at this moment a profound popular attraction and a charismatic leader. There is a tremendous upsurge in its militancy. No socialist accepts the surrender of leadership to another force." Socialismo Chileno, page 20. Unfortunately, the lack of experience on the part of the young cadres and the vacillations of the leadership of the party, which did not know how to resist the persistent pressures of the Stalinists, led to the fatal error of entering the Popular Front, despite the opposition of the rank and file, and in complete contradiction to the principles and policy of the party. In the extraordinary Congress, held in 1938, the General Secretary, Oskar Schneck, needed 5 hours to convince the delegates to accept the withdrawal of the candidature of Emgrove, which had been agitated for since 1936. This tragically mistaken decision had disastrous consequences for Chilean socialism, and for the working class as a whole. From the entry of the socialists in the Popular Front government, which won the elections in 1938, Sepúlveda draws the following conclusions. The young party doesn't resist class collaboration. Its least mature and most opportunist sections grow fond of the state apparatus, and forget the objectives which motivated them to become a part of it. There is a flowering of the weakness and reformism of some leaders, which had remained permanently hidden during the hard battles of the early years. Those with the best Marxist understanding and firm class consciousness firmly battle with the reformist wave that invades the party. The combative and revolutionary youth is at the forefront of the struggle internally for ideological recuperation. The rank and file reacts vehemently against the corruption and the deals with the powers that be which break out in the bureaucratic summit. The disagreement not only comes from the radicalized groups, but from veteran working class contingents. The expulsion of the youth is the straw that breaks the camel's back. The most serious split in the 43 years of the life of socialism takes place. Socialismo Chileno, pages 20-21.